ER-101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER-101 from the American College of Emergency Physicians. Well, there's a new study that's been out, and it's a very interesting study. There's a huge rise in emergency room visits related to the use of sleeping pills. And it is almost, sleeping pills are probably becoming epidemic in this country. We know that we are losing sleep and don't get enough sleep. So people are turning to sleeping aids. And a study just came out from SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administration, that found over a 200% rise in visits to the ER related to some of the commonly used sleeping aids. So I want to welcome my next guest to talk about it, Dr. David Lee. He is an expert. He did a toxicology fellowship, and he is the director of research at the North Shore University Hospital, as well as associate professor at Hofstra University School of Medicine in New Jersey. So welcome, Dr. Lee, and thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you.
So, you know, the sleeping aid that they mentioned, Zolpidem, also Ambien is one of the trade names for these drugs. I mean, it's amazing how many people really do get prescriptions for this medication, which tells us about the lifestyle that everybody lives today. Nobody's getting enough sleep.
That's true. The rise of this class of medication. Now, this is a brand new class of medications that has been introduced in this last 10 years. Zolpidem and its other sister-like medications, otherwise known as the Z-type drugs, are fairly commonly prescribed, and it's probably the most commonly prescribed medication for sleep.
Wow.
Now, altogether, I don't think that's a bad thing.
So there is some use for it that you find, right?
Absolutely. If you remember what we used to prescribe to help us sleep, including things like Halcyon and Restorol, or even older things like Seconal and all the other short-acting barbiturates, they were much, much more toxic.
Yeah, that's true, you know, and you heard about those, the Marilyn Monroe cases where she was on so many pills and sleeping pills, and also the King Elvis, right? So those were related to it. So in general, you're saying these are safer drugs for sleep, correct?
Well, that's one of the pros and cons, because these are safer, I think most healthcare professionals tend to write more of them and thinking, oh, this is for, I'll write them, there isn't as much of a downside. And I think that's what happens with effective yet safe medications. They kind of the pendulum swings the way, and they get prescribed to a lot of different people that just might not need them.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, there are, and if we have a little time at the end, we can talk about what you can try and do to get to sleep, you know, without medication. But what was interesting to me on this study, and there had been a lot of talk, is that they said 2/3 of the visits were related to women, 1/3 was 65 and over. But it was a huge increase. Something like women coming into the ER for incidences was like a 274% increase in the past, I don't know, 5 years or so that they studied it, and in men, 144. So what were they coming to the emergency department for?
Well, I think the majority of them that were coming in actually combined their sleeping medication with a different psychoactive medication. So that would be the person that thinking that an Ambien is safe and a glass of red wine and the combination was maybe a little too much. Most of them did present with some type of confusion or altered mental status. There are a certain handful, a small segment that came in with more significant, more worrisome and scarier complaints like paranoia and hallucinations. Again, most sleeping medications are psychoactive drugs, so they will impact on the way you think and the way you feel. That's how they were developed and what they were developed for.
Right.
So I think
No, go ahead.
I think one of the couple of things that, because of the feeling that it's one, that it's safe, a lot of users actually have accidentally or intentionally combined it with other drugs, and that brought a large percentage of patients in. Secondly, a lot of these drugs, and most drugs, are studied in healthy adult males, usually in their 20s, so that the drugs that are then marketed might have different side effect profiles, different metabolism, different elimination in women and in older people, or in people of different shapes and sizes. So the standard dosing of Ambien or Zolpidem at 5 or 10 milligrams might be way too much for a 90-pound woman.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, is that it's true. Then they get these margins of safety and dosing because, you know, not a lot of women participate in some of these initial clinical trials. So stepping back the dosing, and in fact, I think that was, you know, part of the recommendation. The other thing, you know, Ambien had been getting even the generic for it and some of the other drugs. The FDA back in January recommended cutting the dosing in half for women. But what was startling for me, and there was a long acting, because a lot of these drugs, people will say, okay, they fall asleep and then they wake up like 4 hours later and then they can't get back to sleep. So they've had a couple like long acting formulations, but the FDA said that there would, like, the 8-hour drug level. So if you think about it, how many of us really get 8 hours of sleep, right? Even though they say in the commercials, you know, make sure you can get 8 hours of sleep. So you can't fall asleep, whatever. Then you take the sleeping pill at 6 hours. Then the 8-hour drug levels were so high, 15% of the drug was still active in women, 3% in men, and with the long acting, I think almost 30% active in women. And then you got to go to work and drive and things. So, you know, the risk for accidents and all kinds of things makes it a problem. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very careful prescribing medications. In my practice, I like, for especially psychoactive medication, I usually use the lowest dose possible.
Right, and you should be proactive as a patient and ask your doctor. If it's that bad and you need something, you know, you should take the absolute lowest dose. And what else can people do to ensure that they don't have a lot of these side effects? Because some are accidental. I mean, the other thing that we are over-prescribing is antidepressants. And then if you take an anti-anxiety, an antidepressant, then you're taking a sleeping pill already, then you have polypharmacy, and that complicates everything.
Absolutely. You have to be very careful with these, again, psychoactive, these drugs that are made to have you change your mood, change the way you think, change the way you feel. You have to be very careful with these medications, because once you start taking them, you're kind of prone to take another one because you're not thinking clearly in the first place.
Yeah, no, I think it's important, and we just have a little bit of time. So what do you recommend to patients to try and get to sleep, without maybe needing a drug? And we only have about 30 seconds, but what quickly can you tell people?
Oh, quickly. Remove any stimulants, any type of stimulants, including stimulants like caffeine, stimulants like worrying about a test or a presentation the next day. Sometimes it's difficult, but remove the stimulant, as in decide not to play an exciting video game or watch a scary movie right before you go to sleep. Removing any type of stimulant. And it sounds simple, but when you look back at people, what they do, it's harder to do.
Yeah, you have to put away everything before you go to bed, a nice dark room, keep it nice and cool for that, and just try and relax, even if it means meditate before you go to sleep, because all drugs have some type of side effect.